superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
The Madeline Island Ferry has a new owner. We'll take a trip aboard.
Sometimes it absolutely feels like a vacation. I love it. But, you know, another part of it is that I love being of service to the island. Without the ferry, there would be no Madeline Island.
But first, with 160 performers, Homegrown is the Twin Ports' biggest concert event of the year.
Well, these are among my favorite people.
We'll hear from five of them.
Are you ready for what happens next? The dark and the quiet, meaninglessness.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. It's the biggest musical week of the year in the Twin Ports. The Homegrown Music Festival starts this Sunday, April 28th, and runs through May 5th. About 160 bands will perform at 35 venues in Duluth and Superior. To see them, week-long admission wristbands are $40, and there's free admission on opening day. If you can't quite make it to those venues, you can stay right where you are and listen, because we have... well, maybe not all 160, but we do have five. Here with me for something like a telephone hootenanny are those five, beginning with Breanne Tepler of Breanne Marie and the Front Porch Sinners. Hi, Breanne.
Hi, Robin.
Jason Wusso of Woodblind, and of course, Wusso's Concert Cafe. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Scarlett Woods, who's made the Twin Ports her performing home these days, more than her hometown in central Minnesota. Hi, Scarlett.
Hello, Robin.
John Agaki, our local master of the sea shanty. Ahoy there, John.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And last but definitely not least, and one of our favorites, Superior's own Shane Nelson. Hi there, Shane.
Hello, at your service, Robin.
So let's get right to it. Breanne, what's your favorite Homegrown memory, whether or not it's your performance or one that just really struck with you?
Good question. Well, this is my 13th year playing the festival, so I have to think back. And I would say one of my favorite memories ever was my very first year. I played at Sir Ben's with my husband, Evan. We were just playing as a duo at that point. And it was my, you know, my first year, so I was terrified about, you know, how well everything was going to go. Was I going to see anybody I recognize? And, you know, was it going to be stressful? Of course, the place was packed. Sir Ben's always packs. And there in the distance, I could see one of the tallest homegrowners ever, Mr. Brian Barber, whom we all know and love, local video, videographer, illustrator, animator. And he's so tall, he was easy to recognize in the audience. And I just remember the moment I saw his smiling face back at me, everything was going to be fine. Because Homegrown is about everybody in a community together.
All right. Well, I thought you were going to see Don Ness, but either way, that is a tall tale, can we say?
Yes!
All right. And so what do you have to share with us?
Well, I want to share a live recording of a previously released song called Juniper, live from Carplez Duluth, the museum in Duluth. So we recorded it on site, did a video and a live recording with Ben Anderson. It turned out so fantastic. This is exactly what our band sounds like today.
All right. Here is Juniper by Breanne Marie and the Front Porch Sinners.
Am I the answer? Am I
that was Juniper by Brianne Marie and the Front Porch Sinners. She's one of a million performers, oh, okay, 160 at Homegrown this week, some of whom are here with us. Jason Musso, how about your favorite Homegrown moment?
Oh, that's a little tricky. There's too many. Well, one that really pops into mind is the Fontanelles were playing at Luce, and Dave Mayling asked if I would be a part of the show, and they filled up 100 PBR cans full of rocks and turned them into shakers, and I was like the percussion person with the shakers, and at this one part, I just started throwing them to the crowd, and all of a sudden, there's 100 people shaking PBR beer can shakers, all it. That's a highlight. That was a fun one.
And but I hadn't thought of that. You just introduced audience participation, so we can't get much better than that. And a song you like to share?
Yeah, that song we're sharing is Bluebird Day. That's the title track to Woodbine's newer album, and it features a full band. And I love to ski. I love winter. And it's kind of a little nod to anyone who likes to get out there on their skis on a Bluebird Day.
All right. Well, here is Bluebird Day by Woodbine.
Well, it's a Bluebird Day, my friend. It's a Bluebird Day. Gonna push all my troubles away. It's a Bluebird Day. Only clouds in the sky are the only ones that I like. Bluebird, Bluebird Day. Snow covering the hills and the trees. This lonely highway in me. Feeling free. Lucky old sun in the sky. Time's passing by. Sometimes things work out just right. When it's a bluebird day, my friend, it's a bluebird day. Gonna push all my troubles away.
Scarlett Woods, your Homegrown memory.
Well, I have to say, I haven't been a participant in Homegrown that frequently. This is my second year I'll be joining. But last year, I was at Carmody's, and Woodbine was performing.
I was there, too. And I'm sorry.
They kept adding players to the stage, and there was probably 15 people up on stage, and it was so packed in there. Like, I was squeezed up against the wall, and it just felt like I could just fall on people and start floating around the room, mosh pit style. I think that was my moment that I had from last year.
All right. And turning to you, you have a song to share?
Yeah. It's off of my new album I just released. It's called Me, I, Me, Me.
Why don't you just shut up and leave me alone? I don't care about your self-esteem. You think you know how this world should be, but all I hear from you asked my doctor friend, will this ever mend? She said, we don't have a cure for stupidity. You better stop the symptoms that repeat history.
Scarlet Woods. John Ogaki, it's nice to have you back on the shore. Or have you been celebrating homegrown on the unsalted sea? What's your favorite memory?
Oh, my word. How can I pick? It's either Scarlet pressing against me at the crowded Carmody's when Jason is playing with his band, or I think probably the positive experience would be one year when I was at the Amazing Grace when it still existed, and the whole room just was singing along on the choruses. And it's every musician just loves that when you have that engagement.
Great. And you're sharing with us?
Mother's Day song.
All right, here is Mother's Day Song by John Ogaki.
One and two, buckle my shoe. Three and four, John, close that door. Five and six, you learned all my tricks. Seven and eight, John, clean up your plate. 9 and 10, let's play it again. When will we get there? When, oh, when? On Mother's Day, Mother's Day, we show our love on Mother's Day. Patty cake, baker's mom. Oatmeal cookies right from the pan. Wee willy winky, my son John. Zip up your coat and put your cap on. Cleaning my nose and washing my clothes. When do they find time? God only knows. Mother's Day, Mother's Day. We show our love on Mother's Day. Then comes a time when we are all grown, leaving the house, going out on our own, doing our best with the seeds that we've sown, but carry your love and our hearts in our home. Then once a year we try to make clear all of the reasons we hold you so dear, whether we're far or whether we're near, on Mother's Day, on Mother's Day. Mother's Day, Mother's Day, we show our love on Mother's Day. Mother's Day, Mother's Day, we show our love on Mother's Day.
And that was Mother's Day Song by John Ogaki, one of 160 performers coming up this week at Homegrown. We have five of them, and batting cleanup, or whatever you call the number five position, is Shane Nelson of Superior. Shane, what's your favorite homegrown memory?
Well, actually, you know, I'm just thinking about, like, what everybody's talking about. This John, you said that you were at Carmody's to watch Woodblind when they played?
Yes.
So we were all there. Everybody on this phone call, except Robin, wasn't at.
Yeah. No, I wasn't.
I didn't see you. But then again, to be fair, I just met you for the first time in person at the Duluth Does concert, Elton John, because you were a host for that.
Right.
That was the first time I met you.
Yes, I did show up for that, proving I'm not just a disembodied voice on the radio. So a song you want to share?
My favorite people, or these are among my favorite people. I don't know what I'm going to call it, but probably my favorite people, probably.
All right. We will actually play it to end the show in its entirety, so stick around until the end of the hour. But first, everyone, tell me where and when you're playing. Brianne?
We are playing at Mr. D's on Western Wednesday, which is May 1st, and we're sandwiched between Flip Arcillary and Sadkin at 10 p.m.
All right. Jason?
This is Jason from Woodbine, and we're at the Amsoil Arena. Be there, be there, be there.
What?
Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, Tuesday night at Amsoil.
All right. Scarlett?
I'm playing May 3rd at the Owls Club at 6:15.
All right.
Oh, I love the Owls Club.
John?
I'm playing April 30th at 6:30 at Vickery Distillery in Canal Park.
All right. They did get you on land. Okay. And Shane?
I'm actually going to be playing at Carmody's this year on the 28th at the 8:45 slot at nighttime. And I'm filling in for Jason while he's at at the Amsoil this year. This is my audition to see if I'm worthy for next year. Like, Jason passed the test, and I've got to see if I can pass the test.
I think it has something to do with his Amsoil Arena voice that he used.
That was pretty good.
All right. We've been joined by five of the 160 performers at Homegrown coming up this next week. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks, Robin. Thank you, Robin. Happy homegrown.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If you've ever been to Madeline Island, well, you had to get there first, and that's the job of the Madeline Island Ferry. It's so important that the town of LaPointe last month bought the ferry service from its longtime owners. Last summer, we visited the island aboard the ferry, and we'll bring you that audio postcard in a moment. But first, my WPR colleague Danielle Kading has this report on the ferry sale.
The town of LaPointe now owns the Madeline Island Ferry Line's five boats and real estate. The service is critical for carrying thousands of tourists and the island's more than 400 residents to and from Bayfield. Town Board Chair Glenn Carlson says the town closed on the purchase in late March.
To me, buying the ferry line was a critical part of keeping the island population sustainable.
The ferries were previously owned by the same families for more than 50 years. Robin Trinko Russell says they'll continue operating them for the next 4 years.
I think it's a win for the town and for the ferry line.
The town secured loans and other financing for the purchase. Ferry rates will now go up 7%. The increase is set to take effect in mid-May.
That was my WPR colleague, Danielle Kading. So what's it like aboard the ferry, and indeed to be the captain of one? Last summer, we hopped aboard one of the ferries to find out. Here's our story from back then. Depending on the time of year, Madeline Island is home to about 430 people, or 2,500 during the summer tourist season. The largest of the Apostle Islands is 2.5 miles from Bayfield, which you can travel by driving the ice road when the lake is frozen over, and the rest of the time via the Madeline Island Ferry. The 20-minute crossing can be absolutely beautiful most times, but when Lake Superior is being finicky, maybe a little scary. But it's never boring, not even for those who work the ferries, crossing it several times a day. Joining us is one of those, Captain Will Schaub of the Madeline Island Ferry. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Will.
Thank you for having me.
So, when was your first crossing?
My first crossing was before my first birthday. I don't live full time on the island, but I have spent my summers here my entire life. And so I don't remember my first crossing, but I remember, you know, from very, very young age going back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And when you're on the mainland, where do you live there?
I currently live outside Chicago, and I'm kind of a unique situation because I'm a school teacher the rest of the year, and I'm the ferry line's only seasonal captain. So I live in LaGrange, which is a suburb of Chicago, but then I live on the island from June through August.
Well, when did you decide to become a mariner? And was it for somewhere else or always this job?
No, it was always this job. It's very specifically working for the ferries that's attracted me. I started originally working as a deckhand in 1987. I was just finished my freshman year of college, and it was one of my first summer jobs ever, and I loved it. I worked a couple summers as a deckhand, and then I finished college, and I went on with my life, and I had various careers, but I never forgot just the joy of being on the water, of you know, traveling back and forth, and it was just some of the fondest memories of my entire life. So much later, after a 30-year hiatus, I was a school teacher, and the idea germinated in me. I wonder if I could go back and work that into my life. So about 7 years ago, I came back to work for the ferries. I needed a few years as a deckhand, because to get a captain's license, you need a certain number of days of sea time. So it took me, working only in the summers, it took me a while to get to that threshold. But 3 years ago, I got my captain's license and started then learning how to drive the boats. And so that's what I've been doing. And that's my plan until I retire from teaching. And then I hope to continue driving the boats a more extended part of my year.
The ferry company has several boats. Do they each have names? And which is your favorite?
They do each have names. We have a fleet of five boats. Two of them, the Island Queen and the Nichevo, are predominantly wintertime boats because they're icebreakers. They're smaller, but they can go through up to maybe 10 inches of ice. So they're very useful, obviously, in the shoulder seasons before the lake is frozen over. But we also have the Madeline, we have the LaPointe, and we have the Bayfield. Those are our three big boats. And I do have a favorite. I drive predominantly the Madeline, and I like it because it's responsive. I can steer it well. It starts, it stops, it does what I want it to do. It's a little more susceptible to the wind than the other two big boats, so I have to admit that it has that feature. But that's the one I'm familiar with, and I consider it my boat when I'm here.
That leads into, our obvious question, the weather. Well, what's the worst crossing? How about most challenging? Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah. Wind is the absolute primary factor in determining my day. I check the weather multiple times a day, but it's the first thing I do in the morning. And I'm specifically looking at wind. And as it turns out today, they forecast 15 to 20 mile an hour winds out of the southwest, which for me, on my boat, is not my favorite. it's given me crosswinds as I'm landing on the island. And like I said, my boat's a little susceptible to wind, so I'll be able to handle it. But that'll have me very focused every time I'm landing on the island today. So waves we can handle. If it's blowing hard northeast, of course, there's almost 400 miles of open lake out there. So if it's blowing northeast, we can get big rollers coming in, and that can be problematic, but that's pretty rare. And in those cases, when the conditions get too bad, we simply shut down. It's normally not for a period of a whole day even, but we'll shut down until the conditions improve, because obviously safety is paramount. For me, wind is everything, and I'm looking at the wind every single landing. I land a boat 20 times a day. And with every landing, I'm looking at that windsock. I'm looking at the flags on the sailboats. I'm looking at everything I can to know what the wind's doing and how it's going to, affect the boat.
20 times a day, is there, like a pilot, do you have limitations? How much and how many days per week do you do so?
We've gone, we used to work, kind of a traditional five-day week. With the pandemic, we switched it up and went to four-day work weeks, working longer shifts, and people like that, so that's what we're still doing. And I kind of like it. It gives me 3 days off in the summer, which is kind of great. But we do limit, and I don't think this is a Coast Guard regulation, but for the ferry line, we limit it to 12-hour shifts at the most. Because, listen, it's an important job. It's a lot of responsibility. We have up to 150 lives in our hands, and the company doesn't want us losing focus you know, getting tired, getting, you know, distracted. So my shifts are typically 10 to 12 hours. So with a 10-hour shift, I'm typically landing every half an hour. So I say 20 landings a day, more or less that.
What's the most interesting cargo you've carried, or maybe most unusual vehicles? I saw a pretty big truck when I was out there.
Now, I'm sure there are things that are so big that we can't carry it, but I haven't seen it. We've carried rock crushers that weighed I don't know how many tons. We certainly carry fully loaded semi-trailers, 53-foot trailers. I mean, you know, just absolutely anything. We can carry two coach buses end-to-end. We can carry multiple ready-mix trucks. Our biggest boat can handle almost 250,000 pounds in terms of payload. Earlier this summer, we brought over a house, half of it one day, the other half the next day. So it's funny because people will pull up and it's like, can you carry a 30-foot camper? It's like, buddy, I can carry four 30-foot campers at the same time. We can really handle just about anything.
How about the most interesting people or passengers?
Most interesting to me is the role we serve as part of the emergency services for the island. And that's the thing that most people coming across don't give a second thought to. What if I have a heart attack? What if I, you know, have a bee sting and I'm having an allergic reaction? What if I crash my motorcycle or moped or whatever? And we are on 24-hour call for that. We get calls at any time, either during the day or in the middle of the night, and we've got to hop to and get a boat ready to go if the ambulance needs to transport people. And on some busy summer days, we'll have 2, 3, 4 emergency calls a day.
Sure. I understand there's no jail on the island and that anyone arrested has to be brought to the mainland. So are they in handcuffs or locked in a brig or something like that?
Well, I think they're typically, yes, in handcuffs and in the back of a squad car.
Oh, okay, right. You do have the squad car, right, yeah.
Yeah, we do have police officers on the island.
Walk on board the motor vessel Bayfield. Please follow the instructions of the crew in the event of an emergency. Life vests are located on the car deck and the upper deck. Additional safety information is posted in the red frames throughout the vessel. Smoking is prohibited anywhere on board, including in your vehicle.
Not to concentrate on a negative, but what about unruly passengers mid-trip? Have you ever demanded anybody walk the plank?
I have to be honest. Unruly passengers almost always involve alcohol. And mm-hmm. we have had passengers that are so inebriated that they can barely walk. And that's not a safe person to have on a boat. So we literally made them sit on the dock and sober up before we'll let them on the boat. And we've called the local police and said, can you ride along with us? Because when I'm up in the pilot house, I can't be monitoring or handling, you know, drunk or unruly passengers down on deck. So, and occasionally, it's very uncommon, but we can get the Bayfield police on the phone and have them waiting for us on the other side if there are people who are, not cooperating.
That'll sober them up real quick when they see that, yes. You know, the flashing lights waiting, yes.
And we've had it happen, and it does make an impact. It makes an impression on people. So we do have some revelers and people that have obviously come over to the island to have a good time. Almost always. They're pretty reasonable. But sometimes we have to get tough, and it's not my favorite part of the job at all, but we have right. Our resources to take care of that.
We are speaking with Will Shubb. He's a captain of the Madeline Island Ferry. What you just said there, it's not your favorite part of the job, but the favorite part of the job. Is it a job or a constant vacation?
Well, it's a good question. Sometimes it absolutely feels like a vacation. I love it. There's all kinds of things I could do, but I love my summers. I love being outside. I love getting some sun. I love being on the water. But, you know, another part of it is that I love being of service to the island. Without the ferry, there would be no Madeline Island.
There'd be no LaPointe. Life as it is on the island could not function. It's kind of hard to imagine that everything that's on the island, we bring over. We bring over lumber. We bring over cement. We bring over all the groceries. We bring over absolutely everything that's here. You know, the power goes down. We're on the run bringing the power trucks over to get the lines back up. So without the ferry, there'd be no Madeline Island. And so it makes me feel good that I'm something other than just a consumer over here. I'm part of the community providing an essential service. And I don't know, that makes me feel good too, that I'm giving back to the island, not just, you know, absorbing the beauty.
Any particular crossings that come to mind as your best trips?
Well, in general, I think that I don't like working the night shifts very much, but I have to be honest, when I'm coming back from Bayfield and I see the full moon rising over Madeline Island and it's nice and calm, it's just like, it's magical. It's just, it, you know, it's like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do something that just seems, it's just so beautiful and dreamlike and romantic almost, you know. It's just, moments like that are great, or seeing the Northern Lights, you know, across Lake Superior. It's just like, oh, maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity. Stuff like that. I've seen, conversely, the sunrise back in the day when we had very early morning runs. So it's just a beautiful way to experience Mother Nature, you know, being on the water. I still remember a trip we made in 87. It was an electrical storm like I had never experienced. And it was just dumping rain, and the lightning was just like a strobe light. And in the moment, it wasn't fun at all. But I remember that trip, you know, 30-something years later. Like, what the heck were we doing out there? But we were getting people back and forth, and it was an exciting ride. So, yeah, there's... almost every day. Well, I shouldn't say every day, but you know, things happen, and it's. We'll say this: no two crossings are ever the same. It's just the lake changes, the weather changes, the wind and the sunlight, and it's just like some days I get off at the end of the day, I feel like I've had a whole week. You know, it's hard to, you know, believe it all happened in one day. So. Amazingly, right. I would, you know, we have a 2.5 mile run. An obvious question is, do you ever get bored? And my answer is honestly, no. Somehow it's always interesting. It's always fun. And it doesn't get repetitive to me. Just love it.
We've been speaking with Captain Will Schaub of the Madeline Island Ferry. Thank you for joining us, Captain Will.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, and enjoy your trip.
Coming up, the regional news and review. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and we're joined by Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And Maria Lockwood of the Superior Telegram. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, the pandemic is long over, but there's still aid money for it from the federal government, and Duluth City Councilors can't agree on what to do with it.
That is correct. The debate about how best to use the city's remaining pandemic relief funds will continue. By a 4-4 vote on Monday night, with one member absent, the City Council failed to pass the resolution that would have sent about $3.9 million in unspent federal funding to the Duluth Housing and Redevelopment Authority. City administration earlier had advocated for the unspent funds to be sent to the Duluth Economic Development Authority with the directive that the money be used to bring more affordable housing to the community and or to support economic development. Several councilors, however, want the pandemic relief funds to remain committed exclusively to affordable housing as part of an earlier proposed $19.2 million investment pledge. In 2021, the council approved the plan to divvy up approximately $58 million in federal assistance it received through the American Rescue Plan Act. The money must be committed to a qualified use by the end of the year and spent by the end of next year. Otherwise, the city may be forced to return any unused funds. Councillors Roz Randorf and Wendy Drucker had proposed the unspent COVID-19 funds be sent to the HRA to ensure the money is spent on affordable housing. But Drucker moved to table the resolution Monday since not every councillor was present. She suggested a delay would provide an opportunity for a more robust discussion on the best way to put the money to use. At-large Councillor Eric Forsman asked his colleagues not to table the resolution, but to bring it to a vote, rejecting plans to send the money to the local HRA. The motion to table the resolution failed for a lack of a majority on another 4-1 vote, and then fell short again on a subsequent 4-4 vote. Monday's vote doesn't settle the matter. The council will still be able to provide greater direction in future meetings.
Well, moving over to St. Louis County, commissioners there aren't shy about asking the feds for money, especially to pay for Boundary Waters rescues.
Very true. St. Louis County commissioners say they could use assistance covering the cost of lending a hand to those who need help in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. In the past 5 years, the St. Louis County Rescue Squad has responded to an annual average of just over 30 calls for help in the Boundary Waters. Its members have logged an average of 910 hours per year, assisting people lost, injured, or sometimes dealing with a sudden death in their party. Commissioner Paul McDonald of Ely said it's unfair to saddle local taxpayers with the full expense of covering Boundary Waters rescues, and the same holds true in other wilderness areas. The St. Louis Rescue Squad is a nonprofit, volunteer-run organization that receives funding from many sources, including public donations. Nevertheless, local tax dollars are vital in keeping the organization on top of its game. In 2023, the county spent $337,000 to support the rescue squad for vehicles, equipment, fuel, training, and other expenses. Squad Captain Rick Flatten said the organization's total annual budget is about $450,000. A pretty good bargain considering the roughly 30,000 hours volunteer members dedicate to the cause each year. Flatten equates that to about $3.5 million in free labor annually. While rescue squad members are volunteers, there are numerous other costs involved in mobilization, including vehicles and equipment, McDonald said, noting the extra cost of support from local law enforcement agencies, including the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office, dispatch, and other first responders. The federal reimbursement discussion recently has been ignited by a call for the state to help Iron Range cities cover the cost of providing emergency medical services to rural areas beyond their tax jurisdictions, putting yet another strain on local government budgets. Flatten said calls to the Boundary Waters generally account for about 4-6% of the rescue squad's responses in any particular year, but calls spiked in 2020 at the onset of COVID-19 pandemic, when the squad responded to the Boundary Waters 39 times, accounting for nearly 10% of its annual volume. But he said things seem to have settled down recently, with the squad being called to the Boundary Waters just 18 times last year, accounting for 3.7% of its overall responses.
Okay. And last week, you reported on a tragic stabbing death in Duluth. Suspects have now been charged?
Yes. Three men were charged late last week in connection to an incident that led to a fatal stabbing, but no arrests have been made, only charges. 34-year-old Darius Plummer of Canton, Michigan, was charged with second-degree murder without intent in the April 12th stabbing death of 25-year-old Chantel Moose of Duluth. Two other men, Trevon Walters and Kamonte Cadge, both 26-year-olds from Duluth, were charged with second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon. According to the criminal complaint, Plummer encountered Moose at about 2:15 a.m. outside of Spurs on 1st in the 100 block of West 1st Street in Duluth. Police said Plummer is a friend of Moose's ex-boyfriend, and they began to argue outside the bar. An eyewitness said Plummer was holding a knife and threatened to stick anyone who would run up on him. The eyewitness tried to separate the two, but Moose took a swing at the much larger Plummer and missed. Plummer then reached an arm over the eyewitness and swung down toward Moose's neck. The eyewitness said Moose initially did not react, but backed up and walked away. However, about 15 seconds later, she collapsed. When Plummer saw Moose collapse, he ran away from the scene. Now, Cadge chased after Plummer, pistol whipping him in the back, according to police, and causing him to fall into the street. The eyewitness said he then saw Cadge shoot once at Plummer and then heard several more gunshots. Plummer is alleged to have left the scene on foot and has not been found. Walters left the scene in a vehicle and is believed to have left the state. Cadge went into the Kingsley Heights apartment briefly after the shooting and was then transported to a local hospital, but left shortly after that. Again, no arrests have been made.
Well, Maria, last week our Earth Day special talked about the day's roots in northwestern Wisconsin. Some young people from our region are continuing that tradition at a cleanup in Superior.
They certainly are. Students from Northwestern Middle School and Lake Superior Elementary School teamed up to sweep through Wade Bowl Park Monday morning as part of Earth Day cleanup activities throughout the city. Their haul included a concrete block, couch cushions, a steak knife, a vaping device, a full bottle of shampoo, a boat hitch, a tire, and much more. Much of it found hidden in the brush surrounding the green space. Megan Hoogveld, a water resource specialist with the City of Superior Environmental Services Division, said they were hoping for trash and they lucked out. She said they want kids to see the significance of the trash in the community, even in spaces like the park that are taken care of. Fifth grade teacher Sue Corral, who has picked up trash with Lake Superior Elementary School students for years at sites ranging from Billings Park to Wisconsin Point, was impressed. She said this cleanup is the one where she's found the most garbage ever in all the years she's done this. One student even told her the amount of trash was atrocious. This was the third year in a row the city has partnered with students to clean up public spaces. It was more than a morning spent in the sun, though. One of the things that the city wants to leave the students with is that these simple acts of cleaning up, just on a daily or every other day basis, can really make a difference.
All right. Well, we certainly won't trash their efforts. We've been joined by Maria Lockwood, reporter for the Superior Telegram. Thank you, Maria.
Thanks a lot, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org, SuperiorTelegram.com, and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We'll go out to the song by Shane Nelson, celebrating all his homegrown friends with the working title, My Favorite People. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
Well, these are among my favorite people. Well, these are among my favorite people. Well, who are the ones that you can run to when the world unravels at your feet? Pick you up when you fall down, when the world's spinning round, round. I repeat, these are among my favorite people. These are among my favorite people. Who will say you don't have to be strong all the time? Leave your worries there at my doorstep. Rest your weary head on my shoulder. Carry on tomorrow, my shoulder. These are among my favorite people. These are among my favorite people. When there's chaos and riots in the street, I say, do you feel safe inside your seat? Leaving out love and an evil man. The heart is where it starts to begin to burn that fire with that desire to sing the chorus of peace and prosperity. These are among my favorite people. These are among my favorite people.
Tear run. To be strong all the time, leave your worries there at my doorstep. Rest your weary head on my shoulder. Carry on tomorrow, my soldier. These are among my favorite people. These are among my favorite people. And when there's chaos and riots in the street, I say, inside your skin, leaving our love and let evil win. The heart is where it starts to begin to burn that fire with your desire to sing the chorus of peace and prosperity.
These are among my favorite people.
You are among my favorite people.
Shane, you're among my favorite people.
I like it when you say my name.
I like to say your name.
Maxie's among my favorite people.
Right here in my heart, honey.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Stevie, Eric's among my favorite people.
Did you have something
yes,
to say?
Yes, I do. Stevie's among our favorite people.
It's true.
It's true. Jerry's among our favorite people.
Drum solo!
All together.
Ron is among our favorite people.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Eric's among our favorite people.
Yes, he is.
I might have said that, but I'm gonna say it again.
But you are among my favorite people.